farm workers. And we hear an excerpt from the documentary Cesar's Last Fast. At 11 on stage in studio, host Dimay Roberts features Idris Goodwin's How We Got On, the season opener for Portland Playhouse. We'll hear from director Jen Rowe, music director Mike Crenshaw, and actress Ithaca. And at 11:30 on Art Focus, host Joseph Galavan interviews Stuart Harvey on Burning Man, Pas de Deux. Thanks, KBOO members, for your generous support. You rock. Stay tuned for Air Cascadia with host Chris Andre following this.
KBOO Community Radio is seeking an individual or group to contract with to help build our next 3-year strategic plan. KBOO embodies equitable social change, shares knowledge, and fosters creativity by delivering locally rooted and diverse music, culture, news, and opinions with a commitment to the voices of oppressed and underserved communities. We've been serving the Portland community since 1968 and are one of the oldest independent community radio stations in the country. The person or group who is selected will co-lead the development of a strategic plan with the KBOO Strategic Planning Support Workgroup, made up of volunteers, board members, and staff. More details about the application process can be found at kboo.fm/planRFP2015.
What are you doing this Thursday at 11 a.m.? Hopefully you're listening to Between the Covers, where I talk with living legend, author of over 60 books, Ursula K. Le Guin. Le Guin says, "You can't change society without changing the English language." Thus, her new book for writers, Steering the Craft, inevitably engages class, gender, capitalism, politics, and morality, which for her is not separate from grammar and punctuation. Again, it's
Ursula K. Le Guin.
This Thursday at 11 on
KBOO, the cheerful voice of social conscience, 90.7 FM in Portland.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Tuesday, September 29th, 2015, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Also, introducing the show today, we had more from Goodshield, Aguirre, and Mignon Gailey. That was off of the second CD, Soul Amante. And our guest today is Arlene Montgomery. She is with the Wild Rockies group out of Montana, and we're going to be talking about bull trout. There is a federal plan coming out tomorrow, and there are going to be problems with that. There is a history, a long legacy of the bull trout co-evolving alongside salmon. And so all of this is, as we constantly stress, is of a piece. All of it is related. All of this relates to treaties, 1855, fishing rights, and First Nations, who also are going to be weighing in on the plan when it comes out tomorrow. First, before we get Arlene on the line, we're going to talk a little bit about other issues close to home. Lawmakers chose Jenny Burdick of Portland for the Senate's number 2 post yesterday. Burdick's appointment represents a change of course in the middle of an election cycle, which usually politicians and lawmakers are loath to do. There's always something that going on beneath the surface here, and we probably would want to look carefully at this. The fact that Kate Brown installed in the place of the flaming burnout that was Governor Kitzhaber has installed as governor, that has a ripple effect all the way down the political ecosystem in Salem. Don't think it isn't an ecosystem, and don't think it isn't a predatory one. So also in today, the Raise the Wage Coalition had announced its filing on Monday to get the minimum wage up to $13.50 an hour. There's another group too, of course, and you and I and all of us here in the KBOO community are pushing for the $15 statewide minimum wage. There's a collection of signatures started last week, and ballot measure organizers are looking to collect over 88,000 from registered voters to get this on the 2016 ballot. It shouldn't be that hard. Most people feel that this is the only fair way to treat the working people who underwrite basically all the rest of the antics that we see taking place at the top. And in San Francisco, protesters marched down Market Street, blocking morning traffic for nearly an hour, where some demonstrators painted an impromptu mural while others blocked the entrances inside the Bank of the West headquarters. The activists called it Flood Wall Street West. The action comes just over 1 year after the Wall Street East in New York City to highlight the ties between capitalism and planetary destruction. And if anybody has any hesitation, any doubts, any wonder about that, just take a look around. This isn't climate change. This isn't climate collapse. This is our habitat dying all around us, all the time, every day. It's happening a lot faster than anybody ever expected it would. This has really taken people in a on the back foot here, because although people knew it was going to be very bad, they knew it was happening and it was coming. It's here, and we are in it, and we don't know what to do. So let's march down Market Street, see what happens. And activists were arrested at the Genetic Engineering World headquarters of ArborGen. They were part of the Global Justice Equality Project. And I hope we have Arlene on the line right now. She's waiting patiently. Thanks, Arlene, for being with us today. We are so glad to welcome you to the KBOO airwaves. I believe that Mike Garrity has been a guest on this show before, so there are connections, as there always are, everywhere. There is a plan coming out. The feds say that they're releasing their final plan tomorrow to recover struggling bull trout in five western states. They're trying to get this the trout off the endangered species protections. If they were off that list, then that's good for the trout. Unfortunately, that is probably every species of every creature in the five states needs a little protection. So, Arlene, what do you expect the feds to? What actions do you expect them to take?
Well, based on their press release they sent out yesterday, and they're frequently asked questions that were posted on their website, we don't see that there's very big change. In fact, there's very little change from what was in their draft plan and what will be in this final plan. And despite the fact that we provided really detailed science-based comments, they were not incorporated into the final version, as far as we can tell. So one of the problems with the plan is that they want to manage primary threats in each of their what are called recovery units, which sounds really great. And of course, threats do need to be addressed in a recovery plan, but they have no measures to determine whether they've actually achieved this amelioration of threats. such as habitat-based standards. There aren't any in the plan, so we can't. They're not going to be measuring temperature, sediment, and habitat features that are really important for bull trout. Another missing measure in the plan is the lack of population criteria. So you know, it's if you don't know. If you're not measuring your populations, or you don't have like a target of how many bull trout do we need to be genetically viable, how can you say that you've achieved recovery? So those are a couple of the problems that we see with the plan, and then there are some other ones also I could talk about.
I would like to do that. We have a little bit of time left, and I wanted to use all of the time that we have today. I find it. What's the term? Tone deaf? Or how do people who achieve a position of making these kinds of decisions, the federal government and speaking, and in fact for all of us, I guess, are making these decisions on behalf of everyone, how can they not be aware of population considerations, what the exact genetic architecture has to be, and if this idea here is to ensure that the bull trout could be perhaps lifted off from the endangered species is list and no longer be under protection, I don't see. It just seems that either they don't have all the information or they didn't bother to go out and get it, because you have it. I mean. How is that possible?
Well, I suspect that somehow politics plays a role in this.
You think?
but you know, back in 2002 and 2004, they started to write a recovery plan. That recovery plan was very detailed and had these parameters in there: habitat standards. It had demographic population targets. This is what we need. You know, it's not a scientific secret that, you know, we need to maintain genetic diversity in order to have populations of, you know, any kind of fish or animal be viable, where there's not inbreeding and, you know, a loss of viability. So this plan took a total about face from those earlier draft plans, and then to sort of add insult to injury, it allows for 25% of the bull trout populations, which are sort of the spawning areas, and there are over 100 of those throughout the range of bull trout. It allows for them, for the 25% of those, to be extirpated, and they're calling this recovery, which just absolutely defies logic. Because when bull trout were listed in the late 90s, their numbers had already been reduced by 60%. And now they're saying, well, we can afford to lose more bull trout, and yet we're going to call this recovered.
And then take them off the endangered species list. That makes no sense at all. Where does responsibility lie for that reversal? That's a disaster.
Well, it lies with the Fish and Wildlife Service. They are the ones who are in charge of endangered species, and you know, the listing, the critical habitat, that's the places that are really important for species like bull trout, and then the recovery plan, which is your roadmap to how are we going to bring these populations back up to recover them. They're basically saying, well, we can allow 25% of them to just wink out, but yeah, we're going to declare victory and say that they're recovered.
We have just a couple of minutes left. What else would you want listeners to know? I do myself want to stress that this is not a fish in a river in somewhere in a distant Montana. This affects all of us. This is 5 states, and it's not just a fish in a river. This is a habitat. We are part of that habitat. All of it is interconnected. When one piece is taken out, The whole, this is the beginning of the entire system, the bioregion crashing. We don't see it because we, first off, we don't seem to have the capability, the tools to see it. But nonetheless, it is taking place. All of these elements are interconnected. The deforestation, the trout, the salmon, these habitats are our habitat, and we cannot exist separate from it. Yes, please, Arlene, I do finish up for us today with just a final thought you want to emphasize.
Well, I think that, you know, you make a really good point that about everything being interconnected. And for us, one of the reasons why we have been working to protect and recover bull trout since 1992 is because they need the coldest and the cleanest water of any salmonids. And so they are really an indicator of our water quality. If bull trout are declining, then our water quality is declining. And so that's why we really think this is an important, it's sort of like the canary in the coal mine for water quality. And so that's why we believe that the recovery plan should be robust and actually bring these species back from the brink of extinction, not allow them to continue to decline.
Arlene, I want to thank you very, very much for that. Basically, the very last minute. We can't afford to lose any more pieces of this picture. We just can't. It's a luxury we can no longer afford. My guest, of course, has been Arlene Montgomery with the Alliance for the Wild Rockies.
Actually, I'm with Friends of the Wild Swan.
Excuse me, Friends of... And this has been, of course, Air Cascadia. Janet Anderson engineered the show for us today. Thanks for that, Janet. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
And you're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. My name is Dennis Bernstein. I'm in the studio with Miguel Gavila Molina. And, well, Miguel was in a very special place this weekend.